Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
Charles Jamont, and I'm joined by
Andy K.
Welcome. Back from vacation.
Yeah, you're back from vacation. You
survived.
Were well-rested and reinvented.
Well, we don't know if I survived yet.
Oh, yeah.
still waiting for that COVID result to come back.
That's true. Well, you met a brave patriot, right?
That's true. I met the Florida man while I was in Key Largo. I was in a hotel pool, and there was a man wearing... He was wearing a cutoff tank, so like a t-shirt cut off to make a tank top. Mm-hmm. And he was smoking a Marlboro cigarette at the pool where there was no smoking. He was drinking a Budweiser, not Bud Light, Budweiser.
Wow. Listen,
and
he's
he doesn't live light, okay? And then he was talking to a group of people, other Florida persons, I assume, and said, "It'll be a cold day in hell before I get that vaccine."
Oh, my God.
My partner and I looked at each other like, "You can't pay for this kind of entertainment." Go ahead.
Well, this sounds like a tangent, but I definitely, in my head, I play a scene from the Star Wars Rebels series of shows, which was a CGI show, much like Star Wars Clone Wars, which was very good. But there is a scene where a character believes that Darth Vader is redeemed. And they go, "Well, I'm never going to leave you." And then Darth Vader replies in the coldest way possible, "Then you will die." And in my head, that is the exact soundbite that plays whenever I hear someone say, "I'm not going to get vaccinated." Because in my head, I am coldly thinking to myself, "Then you should just die."
That's kind of what's happening right now.
It's a little bit what's happening.
Even more amusingly, about a minute after he said that, there were coconut trees around the pool. A coconut fell from the tree, landed inches from his head. As if God himself gave him a warning shot, being like, "Next time it's hitting, motherfucker." And I could not believe. Also great too was when he was talking to somebody else, she went, and he's like, "You got vaccinated though, right?" And she was like, well, I had to, because of as if you had to apologize for being vaccinated.
Aww. I wouldn't if I didn't need to.
That's right. Oh,
I bet
God,
he's really fun. Oh, but he has friends.
Yeah.
I always wonder, when people are miserable, how do they have friends?
Listen, I mean, they don't have close friends.
Oh, okay.
they were having the time of their life there at the hotel pool,
I guess, with that Bud Reg, living.
I mean... The other people there had no less than 6 empty glasses from the bar. So,
they're having a good vacation.
They're having a good old time. I also had a good vacation, except for when I almost died while I was scuba diving.
What happened?
Wasn't that your first time too?
Oh yeah, no, yeah, no, I didn't almost die. So we did our training in the morning in a 5-foot pool.
Okay.
You know, a 1-to-1 recreation of the Atlantic Ocean. And that went really well. I thought I had a good handle on it. I was on the deep end. I was at the bottom. I'm like, "Hey, I got this." I get into the Atlantic Ocean and I go, "I don't have this." One, just my level of physical fitness was not there. I think there's an amount of technique that can overcome physical fitness, and also physical fitness can overcome lack of technique.
Sure.
I unfortunately had neither. So it was, I was just floating around, going up and down. And then I had some ear problems. I have a history of sinus and allergy. So I was like, let's call this. So I then went to sit on the boat for the rest of it. And got the most seasick I've ever gotten in my life, which is weird because I never get seasick. So it was a time.
Well, now I can never go scuba diving.
Oh, I here's the thing, Andy. I'm going to try again.
Okay.
You can't keep me out of that ocean, God.
Well, I wear glasses, so I can never scuba dive.
Don't you have contacts?
No, never.
Why don't? Not for this.
It's too creepy to touch your eye. That's unnatural.
So is breathing underwater.
Okay, I guess that as well. I can't touch my eye ever. So I will never wear contacts. It's too gross.
No, it was, the 5 to 10 minutes I was doing it underwater was very fun and I was enjoying it. I was also in like a current, so I was being pushed in the wrong direction and I was floating up and down. It was not a great day for me to literally and figuratively jump in the deep end of scuba diving.
Right. Well, I'm sorry you ran into that. I know that was going to be a highlight.
You know, it was the highlight though.
I need to hear this.
The next day we went to see dolphins.
Ooh.
And we stood on a submerged platform while we basically touched dolphins for 30 minutes.
Wow.
They're softer than you would think.
To you?
Yeah, they did actually.
Do you think they understood you?
I don't know. Let me tell you, they know how to jump though. It's very impressive, especially when you're 5 feet away from them.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's fantastic. Did they seem happy though?
They did.
This isn't like SeaWorld.
No, this was like a research facility, and basically they do these like every couple days, and that's how they fund the place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you gave to a good cause.
Pretty much.
Researching dolphins.
Yeah.
To what end, I don't know, but.
So I had a wonderful trip to Key Largo, and all I got was maybe Delta.
We don't know.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that test result to come in. Taking some time.
They've got a lot to look at. Well, I'm manifesting it's negative, so
that's true.
You got that on your side.
Charles, are people playing basketball aggressively outside of your apartment?
Oh, you could actually pick that up. Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That window's closed.
But how aggressive is that basketball?
Well, they're across the street. All right, I'm just lowering the gain a little bit more.
Sure.
But, yeah, no, the thing is, the park across the street from me, it's shaped in a circle. And so our courtyard in front, even though it's across the street from the basketball court, still catches. It echoes across there.
Wow.
Yeah.
It just sounds like they're leaving it all on the court out there.
Oh no, it's very impressive. It's like people set up like just random pickup teams, and then they suddenly there's like other teams waiting in the wings to play on the court. It's really it's really like this is what made me feel. I was like, you know what? There's a community here.
There you go.
they have their stuff organized. They know what to do. I rarely hear fights, so
that's good.
That's good. Well,
old banter, yelling at each other while playing.
Well, how could you fight when you leave it all on the court?
Exactly.
That's true.
That's right.
That's a real duel.
Well,
I'm glad we're going to know the score of the game throughout this.
Yeah, that's true. Well, speaking of communities, let's talk about the sexist fraternal community at Blizzard.
Oh, no!
I hit it like 3 times because this is going to be a long story. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to read kind of this brief article here on Reddit. It's posted by user Muesli. So this is titled "The Activision Blizzard Situation: A Brief Catch-Up Post." Just to kind of condense it. So late last week, it was revealed that the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing filed a lawsuit against Activision Blizzard. Mm-hmm. Quote, a 2-year investigation by the state agency found that the company discriminated against female employees in terms and conditions of employment, including compensation, assignment, promotion, and termination. Company leadership consistently failed to take steps to prevent discrimination, harassment, and retaliation, the agency said. End quote. That was from Bloomberg Law. Back to Reddit. The lawsuit alleges that the Activision Blizzard fostered a frat boy culture, quote unquote, that allowed female employees to be harassed and abused. A significant incident. Oh, hold on. By the way, trigger warning. There is some talk of basically harassment, right? Mm-hmm. But also there's suicide talk, because we're going to talk about that right now. Mm-hmm. So trigger warning for that as well. I was supposed to start getting apologies. A significant incident is cited in which a female employee took her own life while on a company trip with her male supervisor. Mm-hmm. Said that the employee had been subjected to intense sexual harassment before her passing. He moves forward to the Blizzard response, but other notes came in there of basically dumping work on female employees while their male supervisor or counterparts play Warzone. I can't remember the exact terminology, like, but office crawls, where they kind of went from cube to cube to the quote unquote hot women's cubes. And then the Cosby suite, which we will talk about more later.
They called it the Crosby suite.
No, they didn't. They say they did now.
Yeah, they said they did.
Real bad over there, Blizzard. This kind of took, just to kind of clarify where this took place at, it was mostly on the World of Warcraft team, but by no means was limited to it. But the majority of the complaints came from that team. So Activision Blizzard was like, oh, fuck. They sent a statement to recurring favorite Jason Schreier that Activision Blizzard alleges that the lawsuit includes distorted and false descriptions of incidents that took place within the company, and referred to the agency as an uncountable state bureaucrats, quote unquote. That's right. So we didn't have bad culture. It was that damn government.
Exactly. Like, I think even part of that sentence, they say it was them, you know, responsible for all these other great companies leaving California. Like, it sounded like it was written by a Trumper. And by that, I mean, it was like performative and almost name calling. Right.
Yeah.
And it was I was cringing reading it, because anyone who would have read through that would have realized this is a terrible way to respond.
Yep.
You have so many victims coming.
James,
forward.
Keep going.
I know. Oh, don't worry. We got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to be talking about this for at least the next half an hour, just to kind of gauge whether or not you want to keep listening to this. Later on, Blizzard president J. Allen Brack sent out an email to the staff addressing the allegations, calling them, quote unquote, extremely troubling, and also noting that notable feminist Gloria Steinem has the status of sainthood in his household, which is like the female equivalent of I have a black friend. It kind of seems like it. That's weird. And then in a separate email, Fran Townsend, who was the former Homeland Security advisor to George W. Bush, who had been brought on to Blizzard as in a PR capacity, I want to say about 4 to 6 months ago, which kind of also gives this hint that they knew this lawsuit was coming, dismisses the allegations as, quote unquote, truly meritless and irresponsible, and cites a number of actions the company takes to foster inclusive behaviors. That's right, guys. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't. We then get to the roundup of where you have a lot of people, current and former developers from Blizzard, stepping up, talking about their own, notably Ben Brode, Mike Morhaime, Chris Metzen, Ann Armstrong, and Steve Denouser. Is that it, Charles? Denouser?
Who? I'm sorry, repeat
Steve,
that.
Steve Denouser?
Oh, I never got his name right.
All right. Well, either way, yeah, most of them, I would say, either had some combination of I had no idea, some of their credit being like, but that doesn't make it right either that I had no idea. But also, you know, you had like, I just thought it was the culture and I thought nothing wrong about it until I reevaluated my actions, which is not a great look also to begin with, which is like, yeah, everyone else was doing misogyny, so why shouldn't
I? Yeah.
boop. So then we move forward. A tweet made by a current developer notes that basically all of the morale has left the World of Warcraft team. This is like, I want to say Friday that tweet went out.
The guy that was saying like, yeah we're not even working on 9-2 right now. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And then basically that the next patch for World of Warcraft will be delayed due to the morale issues related to this coming out. So you had Activision Blizzard send out a letter basically saying, we hear you, blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, these are all the good things we do. We're not a shitty company. Then more than 800 employees signed an open letter to leadership as a response to the investigation, demanding that Activision Blizzard release a statement that recognizes the seriousness of these allegations and demonstrate compassion for victims of harassment and assault. A later tweet from the article's author, the letter has nearly 2,000 signatures from current and former employees of Activision Blizzard. Then we get to this Monday, the 26th. They had an all-staff meeting, quote-unquote, with some staff. A meeting for all staff was held to address the lawsuit and allegations, but apparently due to an error in scheduling, only 500 employees were allowed to enter the Zoom call. How did that happen? With Joshua Taub, one of the executives. Apparently, Taub asked attendees to reach out to supervisors, hotline avenues, keeping any handling internal to the company, which... I will do the one bit of apologizing for Blizzard, which is to say that is pretty standard. You're not PR. You don't talk to the media, but still doesn't make it not shitty. Then let's jump back forward to yesterday. Bobby Kotick releases another statement. Which went, oh yeah, oops. He says, yeah, maybe that first one where I was like, you know, I'm a big feminist was a little tone deaf. And he then promises swift action along with a review of our policies and procedures that ensure that we have and maintain best practices to promote a respectful and inclusive workplace, quote unquote, conducted by a law firm, which will begin immediately. He also lists out various actions that the company will immediately enact. Well, that wasn't quite good enough because basically in response to that, the employees of Activision Blizzard planned a walkout today, Wednesday, July 28th. This was planned on the 27th, basically saying that the letter and the all staff meeting fell short of what they expected the company to do in respect to that. And oh, I got the timeline a little screwed up here. The new statement came out after the walkout, but either way, or just before the walkout. But yeah, so basically they had a walkout, calling the company to improve conditions for particularly women of color, transgender women, non-binary people, and other marginalized groups. The walkout is known, formerly known as the Activision Blizzard Walkout for Equality, will be held tomorrow virtually from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. with a live event stage on the Blizzard campus in Irvine, California from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Employees unable to attend in person will be asked to stop work during these times and signal boost via social media using the hashtag #ActBlizzWalkout, which I would say was everywhere this morning. And then turnout expected to be about 50 or more in person, with many more joining virtually for the sake of COVID-19 safety. So we're going to pause there before we get into the other shit. Charles, Andy, we like to dunk on Blizzard. but this kind of feels like, ooh. Yeah. This isn't just kind of like dunking on them as much as going, I don't know if we can really be associated with this company anymore.
Yeah. And this has been going on for 10 plus years. Like, this isn't a new problem. It's just people now are speaking or feel like they have permission to speak because there was a 2-year investigation into it. Like, people have to show up with receipts before people can be heard. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is over 10 years this has been going on. This isn't the Blizzard making WoW bad right now. This is the Blizzard making acclaimed games. And yet they did it with all this harassment going on. And it's just wild. It you know, you think a toxic environment couldn't put out something good, and they put out something great, yet so many people are being hurt during it. It's just, it's hard to wrap around. It's hard to think about. And this is obviously not the only place this is happening, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw some comments, too, about some of the notable names in the lawsuit no longer are with Blizzard, but they are with other favorite target of Add to Party, Riot Entertainment. Yeah. Which, as we like to say, oh, that's a culture fit, isn't it? Yeah, so it's just... it's something, it's tough for me, the white man. No, it's tough for me because I think, you know, my mother was the breadwinner in my family for the longest time. Most of the professional teams I've worked with have been majority female. So I have always kind of been in a weird kind of, majority minority, right? Where I'm experiencing the opposite to what most people experience in corporate culture. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I've never seen it. Mm-hmm. I've never been a part of it where it's like, you know, people, you know, harassing women or, you know, shitting on them or things like that. It's always been kind of, you know, egalitarian because, you know, I've been working with a majority of women and just hearing this kind of stuff too, from like a company like Blizzard, which, I mean, they did have the Blitzchung thing last year, which I guess we can say is maybe the start of this descent, right? But a company I think we all kind of held that as being like, this was the dream, right? And you saw that too with a lot of people going, this is the day my dream to work at Blizzard died.
Yeah.
For a majority of people.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. And I have no emotional connection to Blizzard. I've been trying to think, like, what if I found out, right, that Square, you know, Square Enix or even Squaresoft, because Squaresoft was when I was a super fanboy. Imagine they were this bad. Like, I would be, I don't know. It just,
I mean, I guess, and not to put you both of you on the spot, but you know, it's something to think about. You know, have you seen these kind in the same way around? I've thought back about my own interactions and said, have I witnessed these things and not done anything about it? Can you think about those times in your own company cultures and stuff like that? Because I think that's important right now to take that time and go, hey, you know what? Let me take stock of it. And I think that's also what's important. These things come up is just to be like, it's not just here. It's in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so for me, I've been in the office world for 13 years now, including my internships at the time. But and just like you, James, actually, and to extend that, most of my adult life, all the outside family interactions I've had with organizations have had either majority or equal women. And the women were always, I wouldn't necessarily say the highest ranking person was always a woman, but they were either well-respected or held high positions at the very least in the companies that I've been in. So I too have not necessarily been there in an instance in my own companies that I've worked at that I've ever felt that there was some male discrimination going on blatantly in front of us and we did not say anything.
Right.
That isn't to say that other different types of discrimination have not happened in front of me. This doesn't happen necessarily for women. It was a cultural thing about basically whoever talks the loudest gets to control the meeting type situation. And you know, not necessarily like women are the only ones that get drowned. Everybody gets drowned. So you have to like work together to wrangle a meeting. But you know, in situations where you feel like someone should get proper credit, I always did the thing of like, you know, amplifying somebody else's message, you know. So if you know if a certain team member said something that but got talked down, drowned out, I would just take over the meeting and say blah blah blah's idea was correct, and I would try to give them credit and try to give them the platform to keep talking in situations. So that being said, I have heard of instances of like you know discriminations on race, which are interesting ones. And those have been interesting conversations with HR about. But my thing with Blizzard here was the first thing I thought about over this two-year allegation and reading the lawsuit itself, I was just like, this has been happening since WoW, the beginning of WoW, basically. Yeah. And so my immediate thing was, if all of the heroes in my head when I was growing up are all named in this lawsuit, I would just be like, well, that's a sad, like, it would be the equivalent of finding out, like, what's also equally important to me right now, that the, like, you know,
Yoshi P.
Oh yeah, if Yoshi P turns out to be an awful person, like the lead director and producer of Final Fantasy 14 and Final Fantasy 16 currently, turns out to be an awful person, I would just be sad and crawl into a week of depression for a bit. But because I'd like to believe there are other people that can produce great things and still be a good person in high positions of corporate power. Because, you know, corporate life is can be very toxic and can drown out morale of everybody that gets into it, especially in software-based companies and businesses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd like to believe that you can do the right thing all the time, especially when you're in positions of leadership, like many of us are. So you'd like to think there's hope for everybody to still do something good, which this isn't it. And it's been very interesting to listen to all these like past heroes of the staff and stuff that have since left the company. For instance, Chris Metzen, Mike Morhaime, former CEO, Ben Brode, lead director for Hearthstone for a much long time. All these people talk, and they have this thing where they kind of, it's, this is like, you want to believe absolutely everything here. And there is a sliver of chance you could believe it where they just say, you know, I dealt with the ones I knew about, but I didn't know it was all the way, you know, that it went all the way to the root was basically the theme of a lot of these people's responses. And boy, I hope that's true. Cause what, if I see the, you know, clear out, you know, allegations where they purposely look the other way, it would be devastating.
Right.
And I understand this, like, there's this thought process when you're surrounded in this culture, suddenly you start normalizing everything, which is what a lot of these victims also dealt with, where they just kind of thought to themselves, this is just kind of what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't fault people, you know, these victims for suddenly just kind of being normalized to this behavior. But, you know, when you are in a position of leadership, it is your responsibility to still be above all this. So it would be even worse for these people. And it is still a black eye for all of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, then you're talking about, you know, a woman who, you know, very sadly took her own life too, just because of how serious this stuff was.
Right.
And does not seem like, you know, I think at a certain point you would hope that would be the wake up call, and it was not. Right.
Yeah.
So
plus it's also one of those situations where this is, I'm not going to say uniquely toxic, but this work environment that was described is especially toxic.
Yeah.
The employees had no trust in their leadership or in HR. So who would they tell? Like, how far would things go? It would have to be the office rumor mill, which is very, what's it? Office rumor mills are very effective at having things go around. I don't know how well it goes around to leadership positions, because I know as hell that I never talked to a rumor or anything unsettling to my bosses that wasn't verified or formal. So
yeah.
I could see it, but also I could just as easily see them overhearing something.
Mm-hmm.
So they should, like, it seems so unbelievable for them not to have known some of it, but you know, there's also other conflicting accounts of like being like, when Mike Morhaime heard about this, he personally stepped in and fixed it. Or, you know, there's some conflicting reports of that, but not all of it's like there. So you're like, okay, did they just like pick and chose what they wanted to try not to do? But it's like, it's like, it's still all bad in the end, and it's all very disappointing. So, you know, Basically, whatever comes out of Activision Blizzard later on, it's not going to be this. Not going to be the same company, or it definitely should not be the same company. By all intents, you probably would have to expect that the company named Activision leader, Blizzard will have new leadership and will very likely, you could probably treat most of the groups as like a new company once they try to do something after this. Yeah, that being said,
go ahead.
We'll have to see how effective the lawsuit is, because, you know, I'm sure if the state wins, which I really hope they do, I think they have a strong case, the personal lawsuits should be able to pile in as well. And that will get through very well when they name people.
Mm-hmm. You brought up two interesting points. I'm going to address the shorter one first, which I think is, you talk about where did they go from here. And I remember when Activision bought Blizzard, acquired, or they merged. I no longer remember the details of how that worked. But, you know, they were two companies and they just shoved the names together to kind of keep the clout of both. And, you know, the Blizzard name is basically been dragged through the mud like the last couple of years between the Hong Kong debacle, you know, the issues with releases, Warcraft Reforged, World of Warcraft, amongst other things. I wonder if the Blizzard name has become more of a liability than a benefit at this point.
Yeah, it's everyone formerly associated with Blizzard now probably found themselves suddenly without much supports. So I agree. I think it is a liability. And I think it's like, there's no way you can let slip that you were from Blizzard over the past, you know, many years.
And especially from the Warcraft team.
Oh yeah, and not get this question brought up. It's going to get brought up. Because any other company, you know, that is fairly established will want to cover their ass, and will just be like, we're not going to take a chance on this one. No, thank you.
The other point you brought up too is, you know, how do you, you know, this was so institutionalized. How do you bring this up? There was a report that Kotaku posted today about the infamous Bill Cosby suite during BlizzCon.
Yep.
This was a party suite that several high-ranking Blizzard, you know, developers and executives would party at during BlizzCon. Included in this picture that they kind of posted of them all piled in this bed, a bunch of straight white men piled in a bed, holding a picture of Bill Cosby. And so, you know, obviously, all now we talk about Bill Cosby because of the sexual allegations of rape and other things. This was 2013. They being the people in this picture and accused of being a part of the Cosby seat say, no. It's because of his sweaters and, you know, the carpet, and there's like this ugly room back at the offices. It's all kind of plays into that. But I would say that, you know, allegations about Cosby and sexual abuse started back in like 2008. They didn't like hold until, you know, 2018 when he got convicted. But I mean, there were people making jokes about, there were comedians kind of pointing this out fairly around this time. So
2013 was also when all of his victims were coming forward.
Yep.
It was especially in the news cycle at that time. So those guys,
yes, it was
absolutely lying.
And then they also, Andy, you're very quiet. Also, they bragged about it, literally tweeting group chat conversations, which said, so I'm going to just skip the names because I don't think it's very important for this conversation. But yeah, one person goes, I'm gathering hot chicks for the cause, as in the Cosby room. Bring them. Greg, you on the way? And then, you can't marry all of them, Alex. I can. I'm Middle Eastern. You misspelled fuck.
You misspelled
so it's,
fuck.
So, hey, a little racism into our sexism as well. Hey, self-depreciating racism, at least, though. So, yeah, they were pretty open about this being kind of like the party slash fuck room. They also posted pictures of it having copious amounts of alcohol. I mean, there are several conventions that have kind of a note for being kind of a fuck fest, Dragon Con being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if BlizzCon ever kind of had that.
Not related to this, but yeah. Every nerd convention is also secretly a giant place for sleeping around.
Well, so, let consenting adults do what they want, but when you set right. up a trap, essentially.
Well, yeah, and you use your power, right, to be like, yeah. Oh, you know, I'm this guy and this, you know, if you exactly. sleep with me, maybe.
Don't you want to work with Blizzard?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you want
to? So this
interview?
Is just kind of further making this boys club frat culture. So and also, you know, I'm not gonna be here and say that I don't have a love of black humor and making the wrong joke at the wrong time, but I would also never use that to punch down and use that to get over someone, and also understand the audience for those jokes too. So they were being very open as if there was nothing wrong with it. Whereas when I make those kinds of jokes, I go, well, I'm a terrible person for making this joke, but it makes me laugh.
Oh, my God. They posted it to Facebook calling it the greatest conversation. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, so this is actually something that sparked conversation this morning with some of my other friends about this. But I was thinking to myself on how interesting those early, it's funny to say early internet years, but around that time frame of internet culture, because there was a lot of things in internet culture that are just like downright insulting and sexist,
misogynistic. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and you know, one of the things that a former World of Warcraft, I believe she was in PvP at the time, Hafu, who became a Hearthstone streamer after, and then now, you know, now does variety games on Twitch, where back when she was, I think, in, you know, there were arena tournaments, there was another team that got to the qualifiers named Raping Hafu at regionals.
Christ.
Which I remember, I think I heard about that before too, and they ended up having to change their name, but that wasn't because it was against policy. It was for better sponsorship.
Yeah.
Of other things. So like there was definitely a, you know, and I'm not trying to excuse any of this. I am just simply stating there was a different mentality back then that never realized how offensive and misogynistic their words were. And it definitely shows here very much. And, you know, not this again, none of this what I'm saying, because I'm sure anyone that ever hears about rationalization thinks it's also excusing. You know, none of this condones what they ever did or their process, or if any of this is okay, none of it's okay. It's one of those things that also puts you into introspection. Because, you know, when I read this, I thought to myself, you know, I remember making a rape joke to my friend who's also male and putting a comment on Facebook about it. And then, you know, a couple of years ago, they said, hey, they sent me a message like, this didn't age well. Can you delete this comment? And then I did, because I was like, yeah, you're right. This doesn't age well. Mm. And it's like, and I'm a new person that realizes this is wrong, so I'm going to delete it. But I did make that joke when I was younger.
I think you're getting to the point too of there's a difference between owning up to what you did and moving forward with it, and trying to bury it and be like, there's nothing wrong with that. You're just having fun. Yeah. You know, there's this kind of thing of like, hey, yeah, I was a piece of shit and now I'm not. You know, here's the actions I've taken to show I'm no longer that person, right? But when you bury it, you're just trying to pretend that you're not that person anymore, even though you more than likely are still that person.
It just goes to show how, you know, we recognize that things are changing for the better, but there's still so much, and there's like deep corners that need to be cleaned and fixed up.
Yeah.
You know, these things are institutionalized, and we have to, you know, destabilize it and root it out.
And everybody, all right, everybody breathe in. Breathe out.
We've got a lighthearted story in between all this.
That's right. So, yeah. So obviously this will be developing. We may or may not dip our toes back into this because, you know, we do try to keep the show light, but it is a heavy topic. And as Charles and I and Andy, not to say that Andy is supports misogyny by accident, but the three of us are concerned about social justice and things like this too. So it was a big enough story and gaming related that we did want to spend a serious amount of time on it and elevate it. We may come back to it, we may not, but we'll see. But now let's get back to what really matters: consumerism.
Where should I slide this card? I'm trying to give people money for services.
So right after we I'm losing the link. There it is. Right after we recorded last 2 weeks ago, Valve announced the Steam Deck, which we talked in during our E3 predictions podcast. We talked about the Steam Pal potentially getting released, and why couldn't they just done it during E3, so I got some points. But the Steam Deck, this is from an article at Games Radar. The Steam Deck is Valve's latest stab at hardware after the shelf Steam machines, you remember those, which has been primarily carried by Steam's answer to handheld gaming. Basically a handheld gaming PC that connects to your Steam library. It runs an updated Steam OS, replacing big picture mode with this kind of new mobile experience. It runs on Linux native. If you're unaware, Valve has spent a lot of time developing this layer, this emulation layer for Linux to run Windows games called Proton, that I guess they feel is mature enough now and they have enough titles that they can launch it, so you can basically run Windows app natively in Linux using this API layer called Proton. It's a pretty cool machine, and the coolest part is it starts at $399, which is kind of ridiculous. The stats they gave on it, I'm not going to dig in too far, but are pretty good. I think the closest comparison I could give you is the Xbox Series S. It's about there or just under it. The $399 version coming with only 64 gigabytes of eMMC storage, and then the 529 and the 649 version coming with 256 and 512 respectively of NVMe storage. However, Gaben, our Lord himself, did say that it is actually, while not designed to be, the memory is accessible and removable by customers. Not that you're encouraged to do that. So you could get that $399 version and plop in a much better like 2 terabyte NVMe drive and just kind of go to town with it. This was announced the Thursday after we recorded last time, so that was like the 18th, and then went on pre-sale the 19th, and then Steam took a big old shit trying to get those pre-orders out. I struggled for about an hour to get a pre-order, although I finally did get it. Are we excited?
Love that you love it. Only because handhelds are just not for me. That's about all I got.
Andy, how are you going to play your favorite indie games and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order on the roof of your house? Now you can with the Steam Deck.
Exactly. I'm often on that roof. Is it an OLED screen, though?
Actually, I don't know. I think it's an LED screen.
Yeah, I don't think they could put an OLED in there for that.
Yeah, price. It's an LCD screen.
Yeah, which is fair.
It's also 720p, which is also a reason they can kind of squeeze as much power out of it because it's only generating such an image so big.
Mm-hmm.
Battery life is estimated to be between 2 and 8 hours, depending on, you know, what game you're playing. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, very noticeably too, just the kind of Valve has been very said, this is a PC. If you want to rip our Steam OS off and install Windows, you go right ahead. You want to install, you know, Epic Game Store or GOG on here, do it. We don't care. This is a PC that we're selling you. It comes with the experience we think is great, but we're about it being open, which is honestly kind of refreshing.
Is you it know, running it, Windows or Linux?
No, it's running Linux. It's running a Steam customized or a Valve customized version of Linux.
Yeah, there is a interview with Gabe N about it that really won me over a bit. One, because Gabe N clearly was just like, you know what, I'm rich. I've been living in New Zealand for a while. I don't need to care what I look like.
Yeah,
and he looks like he, much like the legend of Odin, he went down, found a well, and traded his short hair and dark brown hair to become a wizard. And much more wise.
Look to the west in 3 days at sunrise, and you will see me holding a Steam Deck.
Exactly. And the funniest thing about this interview was, he asked the hardware team, can I still play Dota on this? And then they said yes. And he's like, okay, good. It's a good start. But his, candor about it and his attitude towards the whole thing. And so, one of the questions that was asked by the interview was like, wouldn't Microsoft have loved to have partnered with you on this to get this going? He goes, yeah, well, we could have. And that's about where he goes with it. Like, listen, we could talk about it someday or whatever. But his attitude about it and saying, you know what, I thought this would be useful. There is a space for PC players that want to use this. We'll just create it.
Yeah.
And, and I was like, fair enough. And I think there is use in this. I just don't have a need to actually need it right now. So I'll just wait a few months likely, and then I'll probably end up snapping it up.
Oh, yeah, I did mention it's expected to come out December of 2021 in the initial shipment, with other shipments coming out quarters after. My need of it, as I said, this is my Japan flight machine. I'm going to have this, and I'm going to play on it for 13 hours with every indie game that I friggin' have. I think the other thing, too... I mean, you talked about Microsoft not partnering with them, which is kind of funny. Microsoft would be fools, if they do not have a Linux native Xbox app by the time this comes out, so you can play Game Pass on this damn thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is exactly what I wanted it to be. It can also do remote streaming. So it also fills that niche of where it's like, I want to play a computer game in bed. And this will allow me to do it. I'd say the one thing that kind of puts me off on it is I think it's about double the weight of the Nintendo Switch, which is, we'll see. It also kind of looks like the Game Gear.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. Yeah. 4D batteries, please.
Yeah, exactly. It's Gabe also kind of came out and was like, we would like other people to make Steam Decks too. Kind of also hinting back to that little, like Steam Machine lineage. But I don't know. I don't think anyone else has, outside of a Microsoft or a Sony or a Nintendo, has the manufacturing capabilities to put something out for this for $399. So I think that's kind of the trouble when you start asking, third party manufacturers to go, like, your iBuy Powers or your Cyber Powers or Dells or Acers to make this. They're going to be like, yeah, but we're going to sell it at cost. We're taking a loss on this. We're not making any money on the back end. Steam, however, can be like, well, yeah, but they buy this and then they buy a ton of indie games that we get a 30% cut on, so it works out for us.
Okay. And that was pretty sweet.
Yeah. It's cool. And it pushes the PC platform forward, which I like. But if neither of you have any pressing thoughts about that, we can move on to our next topic, which is Pokemon's a MOBA.
That's yeah, right. It is. And let me tell you, I've never been more invested.
Yeah, Pokemon Unite was released this past Friday?
Last week? No, last week. I think it was like Tuesday or Monday.
Oh,
it was
really?
The beginning of last week.
Yeah. Okay, so it was Tuesday. They've released a MOBA. I believe it's made by... It's not Tencent, but it's a Tencent company. I'd have to double check that.
It is. It is definitely a Tencent company.
Yeah. Tencent being a
premier. Taimai Studio Group.
There you go. Yeah, a premier Chinese developer known for their monetization strategies. And boy, howdy, can you see it in here? Because it is pay to win, but still fun. If you're not familiar with the MOBA genre, what does it stand for? Multiplayer Online Battle Arena, which is the dumbest fucking name in the world.
And to be fair, still up in the air as to being properly defined as one.
That's
everyone
true.
Comes up with their own way to describe what a MOBA.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a game in which you play trying to define what a MOBA is just as hard.
Let me see if I could do it. So
do it in three sentences or less.
At its core, two teams of five try to score the most goals. How you do this is you kill other players and kill NPC monsters. There you go.
Yeah, fair enough. And it has such staple characters as Pikachu, Snorlax, Charizard, Greninja, Cinderace, and Gengar. Russell. Who's what's the Cramorant?
Cramorant, yeah. Which, by the way, Island was a Pokemon from this game.
Yeah, they got some of them new gens in there too, as well with those Gen 1ers. Gen Grengar for life. But yeah, I mean, I'll say this is the most interesting. We all played it on Monday together. Charles, you've been playing a little more than that with Andy over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I have been seeing a lot of Pokemon personalities playing their first MOBA. And it's been real funny to see how quickly they go, oh, yeah, I see why people are so toxic in Dota and League of Legends. I couldn't imagine doing this for 45 minutes.
Yeah. Like the funny part, you know, just for people's understanding, other games that have this type of format, their games tend to go to 45 to an hour for one session, one game. And this Pokemon Unite is condensed into 10 minutes.
God bless them.
Yep. What's it? Which I honestly believe is the better time frame. I think the level of toxicity that gets put up in other games is partly in due of the time, mm-hmm. as well as the actual game itself. And you know what you have to understand about that is when one player is bad in your team, it actively makes the rest of the team worse off.
Your enjoyment goes down if you have a player on your team doing a bad job.
Yep. So that is also the breeding ground of toxicity. But anyways, in terms of how the game is, it is actually surprisingly fun. Most MOBAs tend to be developed for PC, which allows a mouse and keyboard, which allows for a little bit more precision. But this is actually pretty good as a handheld device MOBA.
I was shocked when you told me it was only on Switch. Coming to mobile 2022.
But, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, Andy, let's say you haven't played as many MOBAs. And, you know, I know you just played with us, but what's your opinion on this one?
I like it. I normally don't like MOBAs because it only feels like I'm doing everything wrong the whole time.
That's a MOBA.
Playing a MOBA is just letting everyone down. And then just tones start to get escalated as you're being told what to do. And you're like, kind of over this. But with this one, I think, keeping it at 10 minutes keeps it fine. Still don't know what I'm doing. But it's simple enough and the buttons are big enough and everything is colorful enough to guide me on what to do that it makes it easier for me. I liked it. I had fun and I lost most of the time. So kudos to them. But I'm the ultra casual, right? I'm maybe the market for them.
We're all the ultra casual because we liked Heroes of the Storm, which was the casual MOBA until this one came out.
Yeah, that is also true. You know, I'd say one of the best things to do to make MOBAs more accessible is to reduce that level of complexity that some of these other longer established games have. And this one literally, you know, gives you two abilities that can be upgraded, which is much easier to follow and understand than four abilities and then also items that can get added later, which would add complexity. So this is just fine. And, you know, the other fun thing right now is that since this game, you know, is marketed towards kids, if you're an adult that jumps in right away, sometimes you have a game against all children that also don't know how to play. And you get to be the big kid in the playground. Tell them what to do.
This is that's the Greg Miller approach to Fortnite, where he likes playing on Switch because it's all against 12-year-olds. He's like, it's on Switch is the perfect format. No one serious plays there.
It's all fair now. Yeah,
that's right. No, it's fun. I don't know. We'll see. Right now, it's kind of up there. I mean, again, most MOBAs only have one map. Right now, this does as well. Heroes of the Storm was kind of the oddity in having multiple maps, and I miss that in this.
I will say, James, there's actually other maps. It's just not the 5v5 map. There's 3v3 and 4v4 maps as well.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, I found it last night because I was like, what does this other area do? And I was like, oh,
that's the other modes. Seems really weird to make different maps for different sizes. I mean, I guess that makes sense if they're trying to help with matchmaking, I guess, in the long run. But
yeah, well, so that's actually, there is a precedent for that, different maps for different team sizes. League of Legends had a 3v3 map for the longest time. Ever since creation, there was always two of those. But the actual competitive map is the 5v5, which I think why this one is also defaulting to be like, hey, in a ranked match, it's 5v5. It is not 3v3 or 4v4. It is 5v5.
Yeah, let's get platinum ranked in Pokemon Unite. That'll show everyone. It's also pay to win, by the way.
It is heavily pay to win. If you're tired of teenagers or kindergartners beating you in this game, you have something they don't.
Disposable income.
And you can just pour it into this game and have strong equipment that will make you much stronger than anybody else in the early levels and make it really hard to kill you.
You may have hundreds of hours put in this game, but I have $60.
A high credit limit on this credit card.
I have an eShop corrected directly to my PayPal account. All right. And then I guess one last game kind of thing I wanted to throw in there. Death's Door came out this past weekend.
I believe so too.
Yeah. I've been playing it since I got back, and it is fantastic. Oh. To the point where I actually haven't touched Skyward Sword yet.
Oh.
Because this has been basically a brand new Zelda experience. It's isometric Zelda. So, you know, played from that top down third person view, and you're going to dungeons, you're fighting monsters. It is Zelda and everything but name, except you're playing an adorable little crow. There's a hook shot. There is a bow. There are bombs. It's Zelda.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is super fun. It's $20. It's only on Xbox and PC right now. Steam Deck. But yeah, this game, I'm playing on Xbox just because I just wanted to play on that. But honestly, I could see myself rebuying this again on PC if I can't play it on Steam Deck for the future Linux Act. But this is, I think it's supposed to be, July 20th, there, that's when it came out. I think it's supposed to be about a 14-hour experience. So, you know, it's kind of short, but it's fun. It's tight. I would say it controls as well as Hades does. So it's, if you're looking for kind of that, it has also kind of a Dark Souls kind of soul system, but you don't lose your souls when you die. You keep everything, which takes a lot of pressure off, which is kind of nice.
Oh, huh. Okay.
Yeah.
You've got just a normal currency system.
Yeah, basically. But, okay. You know, you also generally, you start with only, you can only take 4 hits before you die. So it's, you know, which kind of leans back into that Zelda, right? Zelda, you start with 3, kind of upgraded over time to get to a ridiculous amount. I think the max on this is 6 with upgrades, maybe 7. But, yeah, it's a good time, and I highly recommend it. It's also, the art style is fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like there's a lot of colorful characters.
There are.
And funny, And it was made with a small team, which is really more impressive. Some people were complaining because they used to say, like, there was some misinformation about there being, like, one developer or two developers. Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's really two developers and an art person and a music person, you know. So, you know, it's more accurate to say small team rather than just two developers.
I think we'll be seeing a bunch of these kinds of games coming out in the near future. There's also Tunic, which is that it's the game where you play as a fox. So this is the Raven Zelda-like, and then there'll be a fox Zelda-like coming, I think, either late this year or early next year, in the same vein of kind of being a top-down Zelda game. So it's our time now. Suck it, Metroidvania and Souls-likes. It's time for Zelda-likes. That's right. Well, I think that will be it for another episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I've been your host, James Hartwell, and I've been joined by
Charles Yamont, and I've been joined by
Andy K.
Just a note, we will be back next week. Hopefully, we'll be back to doing weekly for a few weeks before one of us goes on vacation again. But
classic problem.
Classic problem. Classic 5%. That's what we are. Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, nerds. See you on the Pokemon League.
Ooh.
We'll crush you.
I'm going to buy Snorlax.